You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Emprise Bank. Coming up, the latest episode of No Other Pod.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of No Other Pod.
It's beautiful.
Jimmy, and I'm back. I got a haircut today.
Look at, yeah, me too.
Just for this. I'm Jimmy, and I'm back, along with my good buddy Daniel Kuzer. Dan, what is going on, my friend?
Listen, I don't know. I don't know what I expected. I'm highly disappointed. I thought you would come in here talking like David Beckham or something.
Hello, governor.
Yeah.
Top of the morning.
Yeah, that's part of it. That's kind of it. I've been watching the Beckham docuseries on Netflix, so I'm kind of like, you know, I'm fully immersed in that situation there. Paparazzi following me around, all that shit.
Yeah, no, I didn't have any paparazzi following me around. I didn't pick up a British accent while I was in England for a little bit. I do, you know, it is taking me a little bit because they don't say bathrooms over there or restrooms. They say toilets.
So they don't say loo?
Toilet. They don't say loo. Everything says
what is that? Everything I know has been a lie.
The other weird thing is people over there, apparently, not so much in London, but like in Liverpool and Manchester, have a hard time distinguishing an American accent from other accents. So there were multiple times where people were like, oh, you're from Australia? And I was like,
oh, no.
Absolutely, I'm not.
You should have been like, it's funny because we do that with British accents. We're like, you're from Australia.
But no, it was fun. A lot of soccer. A lot of good times. So it's didn't pick up any British accent. They call bathrooms toilets. They call, instead of exit, it says way out everywhere. So the sign that says way out, and buses are coaches. So, you know,
right.
Everything's okay. A little different.
What a time, dude. You got to get away for a bit. Tis the season to spend all our money on trips and holiday gifts and stuff. Yeah. So
that was not a cheap trip, but I got to see Everton, which I wanted to. I mean, that was the impetus of the trip. My brother and I want to see Goodison Park before it gets torn down, and that was incredible. That was the best sports atmosphere I've ever been in my entire life.
Cool. So
it was. I try to take video. It doesn't do it any justice, but 40,000 people singing and chanting all in unison, the entire stadium, the entire game. It's unlike anything I've ever seen in MLS. That's for sure.
Well, we've been holding down the fort here doing regular adult stuff while you go and play, you know.
I know. I'm very appreciative. Shout out to Chris for filling in last week.
Hey, Chris filled in. He had a good time. He was fun. I said, well, if you play your cards right, we'll have you back.
Yeah, broke or at least talked about some sad news potentially with Zusi and Roger. I mean, that's their time with the club has finished, at least as players, and that's pretty sad.
You pick the best time to leave when all the roster decisions are being made, and now we're starting to fill stuff out, man. Dude, I got a new porch installed, my friend. You want to talk about adult stuff?
Okay.
For 2 days, there was jackhammering over here. And it was just crazy. And now it's all installed and beautiful, and it's a wild time.
Yeah, it's that adult stuff. It's fun. We did windows not long ago, and...
It'll get you when they're like, yeah, if you could write us a check. I'm like, oh, here we go. If we remember how to write a check.
Do I?
No one really does that anymore.
Right. So. Anyway, well, I am back. There is a little bit of sporting Kansas City news to talk about this week. We got a couple things, but before we get into the SKC stuff, and MLS Cup happened, and there's Copa America announcements and new MLS rules for 2024. There's a number of things to talk about. We don't have a new review per se in the podcast app, but we did have somebody, I think it actually was a couple weeks ago maybe, that sent a message on Twitter that we wanted to give him a shout out for.
Yeah. Brad hit us up on Twitter. He said, I don't have Apple Podcasts. Can't find a way to leave a review on Spotify. Mm-hmm. There's the thing. You can't. You can only leave the stars, right? But Brad just wanted to say thanks to both of us. He lives in Wisconsin. Doesn't have many friends who watch soccer, and even fewer friends who follow MLS. He followed Sporting from a distance since about 2014, so right after the Cup. So it's been a year. Yep. It's been a decade of no Cups for this man. I can relate. But he's finally been able to watch games and be a real fan in the last 2 years, thanks to ESPN Plus last year and MLS Season Pass this year. No Other Pod has helped me feel connected to other fans and get to know KC culture better, even though I haven't been able to attend a home game. We got to get him out. Brad, we got to get you out here, buddy.
Get you out.
Brett, he says, thanks for all the time you put into covering the team, as well as the insights you share. I also enjoyed Dan's last word callbacks at the end of each pod. Keep up the good work.
That's awesome. And he sent a little screenshot of his like Spotify Wrapped thing. This man listened to 2,496 minutes of us talking, and he was a top 5% fan.
See, that's cool, man. We are touching lives from afar. Brad, if you get to a game, man, I mean, hit us up so we could come hang for a bit and say hey and whatever, all that. So
for sure, got to get him out to Children's Mercy Park so we can see a game. That'd be fun.
Totally. So.
Well, cool, man. Well, let's talk a little bit about what's going on, because there's some roster things happening. They announced the roster moves last week while I was gone, like you said, and you know, Zusi and Roger were the headliners in there, but there were a couple other people that were listed, and one of the people who was out of contract that was listed in that announcement is Gadi Kinda, and he has been a designated player. He's been one of those designated players, similar to Eric Tommy, where technically he could be bought down if Sporting wanted to make a move and bring in an additional designated player, but Gotti was out of contract. And what we had heard at the end of the season, or near the end of the season, was that Sporting and Gotti were in some sort of discussions about trying to figure out, were they going to extend the contract? It seemed like they were working toward trying to get something done. Well, something has shifted, because the word on the street now from Mr. Tom Bogert, who is about as reliable as it gets when it comes to MLS reporting, is that Gadi Kinda and Sporting Kansas City, a reunion of the two is, quote, unlikely, and there are no active discussions going on at the moment. So it seems like we may be on the hunt for not just another midfielder, but potentially another designated player this offseason.
Yeah, it's wild, right? I mean, and in a sense, that sounds exciting, because you're like, oh, shit, you know, could bring in a big name, something like that. But it is sad, because we saw Gadi Kinda kind of get his stride and kind of get it. Mm-hmm. We saw Stella get her groove back a little bit at the end of the season there. And I don't know, man, might not be meant to be next season.
Yeah, the relationship turned a bit weird this year, particularly because of Gadi leaving to go on international duty with the Israeli national team. And Peter, you know, as he's not one to do very commonly, at least, sort of publicly stated his displeasure with Gadi and with the Israeli Football Federation, because he basically said that they didn't believe that Gadi was as injured as Sporting was trying to say. And so Gadi went on duty and he didn't play. But Peter was like, I mean, we're coming down to the playoff time. Like, he should be here rehabbing with his team. And understandably, Peter was upset. They said they talked about it. They worked through it. But I have to imagine that stuff like that, if there were already questions about, will I return? Will I not return? There's been rumors about maybe his wife doesn't love it here as much as wanting to be back overseas. Something like that just kind of is like, well, it's one more tick in the negative column for why would I want to stay here. So it's a bummer.
Yeah, don't get your hopes up on this. You know, it's it really sounds like it probably won't happen. And if it does, yay. You know, right. But
well, and from an on the field perspective, it really is kind of a bummer, because we talked so much in the, especially the back half of this year, when Gadi got healthy again and Sporting started trying to make that push into the playoffs, that one of the biggest advantages that this team had was that midfield quartet, if you will, of Nemanja Radoya, Remy Voltaire, Eric Tommy, and Gadi Kinda, where no matter which three you put into that rotation of the midfield trio, you had a starting caliber midfielder ready to come off the bench. And how many times did we see either Gadi starting and Eric come off the bench and provide a spark, or vice versa, Eric starting and Gadi come off the bench and provide a spark, and occasionally them both on there together at the same time to have a real attacking-minded midfield. And so, yeah, this is, I mean, he wasn't old, but he wasn't young. He was, you know, I wouldn't have signed him to another designated player contract, probably. I would have probably signed him to maybe a TAM player contract. I'm sure Gadi didn't want that. So now, yeah, I suddenly, attacking midfielder in my mind becomes one of the offseason priorities.
Yeah, totally, man. And then guess what? We're right in the middle of off season, and it's not a very long off season. I've gotten on my bullshit here recently, and I have watched the USWNT docuseries on Netflix,
and I'm
like, well, now I'm kind of jonesing. So then I turned on the Beckham docuseries, and I'm just ready for the season, man. It's not even Christmas time, and I'm ready to go.
Yeah, it'll be here before we know it. That's certainly for sure. You know, it'll be there's already, you know, re-entry drafts and free agency, and the list of free agents, if you look at it, I mean, it's got some names that if you're an MLS fan over the years, you've heard these, and you're like, okay, you know, some of these are names that just seeing them associated with free agency is not something that you're used to, whether they be Joseph Martinez or Carlos Vela or whatnot. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that these players are, one, going to sign anywhere, or two, are what they used to be. Joseph Martinez is not the Joseph Martinez of Atlanta United, but there are some good players out there. I'll be curious to see if Sporting looks for some of these MLS veterans to bring in and fill some spots. I mean, somebody like Kellen Acosta, if you need some midfield depth and proven success in MLS, that's interesting to me.
That dude's a menace. Like, that dude is very fun and good.
Yeah, so those are the names. I mean, Julian Gressel, somebody who can play on the wing but can also play wing back. Interesting. If only, you know, we had somebody who played for Sporting for a long time who was a winger / a wing back.
Yeah.
I don't know. There are some interesting names there that I would be curious about, but we'll see.
It's all like, I think about that too, man. I think we spoke before, how I still kind of sell Kansas City short as like a destination. Like, why would a player come here? Like, what's in it for them?
Right.
Right. Like, why do they, you know, dazzle me a little bit?
Right.
And so it's like, well, I think dazzling would be making that little run at the end of the season and showing like, hey, they got a pretty good core here.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd like to go be a part of that.
Yeah, for sure. There are going to be a lot of changes for a lot of clubs this off season, because it's not just Sporting Kansas City who are losing some key pieces to their clubs. Like we said, Carlos Vela is not going to be with LAFC, all indications are pointing to. He's a free agent out of contract. Nicolas Ladero is leaving Seattle. So
this, I don't think we get either of them.
No, not at all.
Whoa, wouldn't that be wild?
It would be wild, but it's just there are some big name turnover happening in MLS. Sebastian Blanco leaving the Portland Timbers.
Yeah.
We are moving into Dax McCarty, Nashville SC. We are moving into a new era of MLS, really.
Dax feels like he's always a free agent, bro. Well, he's like here and then he's here, and it just sucks.
Dax has been on a lot of teams. Another, you know, nomad, if you will, free agent, Kai Kamara. He's still hanging out.
Listen.
Been on every team almost.
That man does not get injured. If he wants someone who's reliable and has a body that just does not break down,
yeah.
Kai Kamara.
So we'll see. It'll be interesting. We'll see what happens. We do know that Sporting Kansas City has already made one signing this offseason.
That's right.
Not, you know, a super splashy signing necessarily, but
for me,
Sporting KC has signed 24-year-old left back Zorhan Basong, who he has some MLS experience. He's played with CF Montreal in MLS for a couple of years. He's also played in France, Belgium, and Romania. He's certainly not probably a starter. That's probably going to be Tim Leibold's position, but with Logan and Dembe being out for at least probably half the year with his ACL injury, this is much needed defensive depth on the left back side. So I don't know. It's interesting. We'll see what he can do.
Agreed. Absolutely, man. It's the offseason roster mechanisms this year seem a little weird. Correct me if I'm wrong. The MLS Super Draft has never come in December. Or at least not recently, right? Hasn't it been a January situation?
I thought it was in December, but I don't remember. I could be wrong. I don't remember.
Okay.
Everything's, I'm not going to lie. I pay so little attention to the Super Draft, honestly, anymore, because I don't recall the last time that Sporting has really had a meaningful addition from the Super Draft. And I think it's, I wouldn't be surprised if in the next 5 years, MLS does away with the super draft altogether.
Bro, it was in, okay. It was, yeah, it's in December last year and this year, but every year before that.
It was January.
Was January, dating all the way back to 03.
Yeah.
So, man, I guess I didn't, you know, I didn't clock that last year. So.
Yeah. Well, not a lot of interesting things happened for Sporting KC coming out of the super draft.
Well, it's been teleconference since 2020, right? Like they they haven't had a live situation.
Right. And they used to try to make it a whole thing where they'd have, you know, a correspondent go out to the top pick's house or wherever if they weren't there, and they'd have, you know, camera set up, and it never felt like, it's not the NFL draft. It's not the NBA draft. It's not the same thing.
So. I think they wish that it was. It just never really took off like that, but.
It's just international soccer or soccer in general. It's just a different beast, and it's rare. You know, the top prospects aren't going to be coming through the MLS Super Draft. Even if you're the number one pick in the MLS Super Draft, you're probably not going to be a club changing signing.
Sure.
So,
and you mentioned free agency, man. That we're in it. We are in free agency right now.
Yeah.
We could have a signing this evening, and we have no idea.
After we record this, there could be an addition that gets announced, and that's probably what's going to happen because that's what Sporting tends to do.
You know, and I like this left-back pickup, man, Bassong. I mean, he, you know, spent some time with Montreal and seems like a good, reliable depth signing here, you know?
Yeah, it's certainly something that, you know, I'm glad Sporting's addressing it. I'll be interested to see really how much he actually pushes for playing time, or if this is more of like, you know, that sort of emergency depth in case Leibold goes down. But I mean, he's not a totally green signing. He's had a number of appearances and minutes played across different leagues around the world. So he certainly seems capable of being at least an MLS rotation player.
Yeah, I mean, Leibold does have some miles on him. You know, he does have years under his
belt.
And Bassong, I mean, I bet they probably told him like, hey, you know, I'm sure you're aware of who we have at left back, but come in and compete.
Yeah.
Come in. I mean, no one's saying it can't be you.
Right.
So there you go.
Don't mess with the Zorhan.
Oh my God.
It was there. You have to take it.
Zorhan. What is that? What is that from? That's from Dude, Where's My Car? Zoltan.
Let's go ahead and take a break real quick before we jump into. I want to talk about MLS Cup and what happened there and everything and some new rules and everything. But let's go ahead and take a break here first, and we'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Make sure you download our new app. Find it on the App Store or Google Play. Just search KC Sports Network.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, Access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Dude, did I tell you I've been playing guitar?
Really? Interesting.
I don't think we talked about this. It's kind of a midlife crisis slash preparation for an audition.
Okay.
But let me tell you, once you finally build those calluses up on your fingers, it becomes a lot easier. But in those early stages,
it hurts.
You're like, it feels like you're cutting yourself up.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I don't know if I can do this. And now it's wonderful. So
what can you play?
I mean, I could play some stuff. I mean, I can chord progressions right now, little licks and riffs and stuff. So
okay.
Been at it for a good probably month or so.
There you go. That's awesome. You just watch like YouTube videos or?
No, I got a 3-month free trial to Fender Play, and it's like an app and has like a 12 course progression. So some shit's getting hard. I was doing Ozzy Osbourne's Crazy Train, and it was hard. I was like, okay, slow it down. Slow it down.
Yeah. When I was like, what can you play? If you were to be like, Crazy Train, I would be like, hold on. Okay. That's.
Yeah. I mean, just little riffs and stuff, yeah. But like, chords don't sound too bad, man. They have little songs you can play along with and shit.
Yeah.
On this app. Probably the next Green Day, you know, it's no big deal.
Basically, I think you, at this point, you're essentially Lenny Kravitz.
If you want to pick up the bass, man, we could have a little No Other Pod band. If you want to get the tuba in this thing?
I do have my tuba. I have it in the other room right here. So.
How does that work in a band?
Do some jazz.
We could jazz it up. That'd be wild.
Tuba's a big instrument in jazz, so there you go.
Hell of a deal.
We got a jazz duo. I don't think tuba and guitar is enough to just go off and riff some jazz.
Yeah, we wouldn't get any gigs.
We need a few other people. What does Chris play? Let's get him on this.
Chris would come watch. He'd be like, I'm not playing anything with you idiots.
I'm just going to stand here. Let's talk about MLS Cup for a little bit. Did you watch it?
I did watch. It was fun.
I watched it. It's
wasn't good.
It kicked off at like 9:30 p.m. in England or something like that. It was pretty late, but because of MLS season pass, I was able to watch it very easily on my phone, which I could not say for NFL games over there because I couldn't watch anything.
Yeah, Paramount Plus is locked, right?
Yeah, Paramount Plus is locked. YouTube TV is locked. All this stuff, and I didn't have a VPN on my phone. They would put one NFL game occasionally on something. I went into a bar and the Broncos were on, and I was like, "Why is this happening? Nobody wants this."
Pain.
This can't be your experience that you're sharing with these people.
Oh my gosh. I mean, they're like, hey, these guys beat the Chiefs. You're like, okay, gotta get out.
It was actually funny. After the Tottenham game that we were at, we were just kind of hanging out in the stadium for a little bit, waiting for the trains, the metro rail to kind of clear out of people. We're like, let's not just go stand in a line. Let's have some food and drinks or whatever. We started talking to this British guy, and he was like, why do people love American football? We're like, oh, you're not a fan? He goes, I don't understand how you can watch it. It is the most boring game where nothing happens and it takes forever. I don't understand it. And I was cracking up because I was like, it's hilarious because people don't like soccer here in America. If they say why, they're like, it's the most boring game where nothing happens. And so it is funny. It's just not something you grow up with, I guess. And he's like,
yeah,
takes so long, which is true. A lot of commercials.
Too many.
But it's
both sides are wrong, but also right. Like, there's some good points there, right? It's like, okay, I just spent 90 minutes watching a nil-nil draw.
Right.
That sucks.
Right.
But if you watch a game that's like a 3-2.
Right.
I mean, but you can also go watch a freaking Raiders game and it's 3-0.
Yeah.
Like you're getting it everywhere.
Win Chargers
unbelievable
or whatever.
Can you imagine?
But I was able to watch MLS Cup thanks to MLS Season Pass. And I mean, you said,
I didn't know Columbus was that good.
Well, they went down. It is funny because they went down early in the Eastern Conference Finals against Cincinnati 2-0, and then they came back and ended up winning in extra
scary
time.
Score, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The most dangerous score in soccer.
There is.
So we knew that regardless of Columbus won or Cincinnati won, that MLS Cup would be held in Ohio because they both
how
finished
that
higher in the standings than LAFC. But it's, you know, I can't say that I was rooting for LAFC. I would have been happy for Ilie if he got another MLS Cup because I do really like Ilie still. But I marvel at the roster that Columbus has put together because they're, I mean, Cucho, obviously, you know, Diego Rossi. There are some of these names, Darlington Nagby's on there that you know, but Wilfred Nancy, the coach of Columbus, has just done a hell of a job taking a mid-market team that's somewhat comparable to Kansas City, if you will, and turning it into a powerhouse just a few years after Caleb Porter, when he won MLS Cup in Columbus, sort of left, and they really rebuilt this team back into a contender. And yeah, they went into halftime up 2-0, and LAFC got back but couldn't really ever find the equalizer, and that was that.
When LAFC did bring a goal back, I was fully on the LAFC train. I was like, when you don't have a dog in the fight,
right,
you go team chaos.
100%.
You're like, just entertain me. Mm-hmm. Someone make someone bleed, you know? Give me extra time. PKs, the whole shebang. Like, yep. I'm here for it. You know, I got nothing else going on. It was cool, man. Pretty good MLS Cup, though. I mean, I had fun.
It was fun. It was awesome. And I'm really glad, you know, for Columbus, an original MLS club. I don't have anything bad to say about Columbus. They're not a team that I adamantly dislike. I do think it's funny, and I tweeted this out, that Columbus has won more MLS Cups than Austin FC has made playoff appearances since Anthony Precourt left Columbus and tried to pull his shenanigans and moving the team to Austin.
Yes. If you guys are just joining us and didn't know about this, the owner of Columbus tried to take the team away. And all of a sudden, fans were like, don't you do that.
Right.
Like, we will support this team, we promise.
I mean, it's an MLS original. And yeah, it's like a thief in the night. He basically, oh, by the way, I'm leaving and we're taking the club to Austin. And there was the whole Save the Crew movement. And it was a really cool groundswell of support. And I mean, Columbus has
we were all in on that support.
100%. I mean, across the league, everybody was trying to save the Crew.
Dude, that sucks as an owner. You're like, oh, I'm the bad guy?
Columbus has a place in American soccer history. Whenever the U.S. men's national team has played there, it was the birthplace of Dos Acero, I believe. I mean, it's got a significant part in both MLS and U.S. soccer history. And so it was pretty wild that they were trying, Anthony Precourt, the owner, was just trying to steal him, essentially. And that eventually didn't happen. He sold the team to, I want to say the Haslams, who had owned the Browns. Since Precourt sold them and left to start Austin FC in 2019, Columbus has gone on to win two MLS Cups. Austin's only made one playoff appearance, and that's that.
You know, that is wild. Like, hey, I sold this team and they went on to be elite.
Right.
That's crazy.
It's pretty nuts. I also, the other thing that's crazy, Columbus, because, you know, if you were to say since 2017, who are the most dominant MLS clubs? There's, you know, Seattle, LAFC.
Columbus is there, LAFC.
Columbus is there now, but like Columbus has more MLS Cups than LAFC does since LAFC joined the league. And I think if you were to like internationally talk to people about like some of the best clubs, or you talk about even for MLS fans, who are some of the best clubs, biggest clubs, LAFC is going to be named before Columbus probably.
Yeah.
Columbus is more successful.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, this season was weird though. This season had like some newcomers and then like other teams that should have been in the mix were not.
Right.
You know, Philly's been doing pretty well. They kind of had a little bit of a dip off this year. Orlando got into the mix mm-hmm. for the first time in a long time. So yep. it's been pretty neat, man. I want to get going. I'm ready for preseason. Like, let's roll.
If Cincinnati could have held on to a 2-goal lead at home as the Supporters Shield winners, they could be the one holding up the MLS Cup trophy right now.
Heartbreaking. That has to be just the worst feeling. You know you're up 2-0, and there's just probably there's that chance. You know, right. They're going to score and get some momentum here, and there it goes.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. So,
the sport is crazy.
It is. It is.
Did you? I want to go back to that. You were talking to that guy about the game being slow or whatever. Did you?
Yes.
Did you come to the NFL's defense? Did you say like this is why it's good?
No, I was like, you know, I do get it because it is very long. I mean, there's a lot of commercial breaks, and that's very annoying. I mean, and I do know that like there have been things done, like studies done, that's like for even for an hour NFL game, 60 minutes of game time, there's only like 9 or 10 minutes of actual action that happens because of, you know, when you run the ball and then huddles and everything. So I was like, I get that. And I was like, you know, it is an exciting game, and the plays individually are pretty short, but then you can look at the replays, you can see what happened if you understand the strategy. You know,
right.
It's similar
like
to
seeing big meaty men just slapping each other around.
I thought you were going to quote Big E there for big meaty
big
men slapping meat.
I was, but I didn't know if you'd know what that was.
It's my
boss's gonna do it.
Favorite GIF of all time. He
gosh dang it.
In our work chat.
I was. I should have said it. I backed off because I was like, he doesn't know what I'm talking about.
I do. So yeah, I defended NFL's honor a little bit. Not that they need me to defend its honor. I was like, you should come to a game at the stadium if they come back here. You might like it.
Yeah.
So.
Hopefully. And you're like, well, I like them both. You know?
Yeah. Well, that's I was like, I enjoy them both. They're both very different. One thing I love about soccer is it's contained to 2 hours. You basically know when the game's starting and when it's ending.
You can make plans.
Right.
100%. If you've got something at 6:30 and the Chiefs kick off at 3:30, you might get done at 6:30, but you might freaking not. You don't know.
Yeah, it's in college football's a whole other animal.
Oh my God! Don't get me started on college football. That is just crazy. There's no talent, no talent when it could be over. You know, there's only one sport though that in the rule book that it can go on forever, and that's basketball. Basketball cannot end in a tie, but football can.
Yeah. Well, I mean, baseball technically can go on indefinitely, but they...
I think baseball gets capped at a certain time, right?
I didn't think so, but
okay.
I know they've changed the rules of baseball's extra innings to try to limit how long games can go, because now you start up with a base runner on second base. So
that's some Savannah banana shit right there.
But speaking of rule changes, I think that's a good transition to the MLS Board of Governors has approved what they call new sporting initiatives ahead of the 2024 season. It's basically, it's new rules. There's new rules.
Just say new rules.
I'm going to start with the bad, if you will, first, and then we'll go to the good.
You got bad.
I think a couple of things people expected or were looking for, especially in the post-Messi era, because that was one of the big selling points of Messi coming to the league. Messi's going to push the league forward. There's going to be new eyes, more dollars. Will the league be able to take advantage of it? Maybe loosen the roster rules a little bit, loosen the spending restrictions a little bit, let teams add more depth, add more investment to their rosters and make this a better league. Will there be a fourth designated player spot? None of that happened. None of that happened beyond what was already set to be the increase in the standard collective bargaining agreement, which there's a marginal increase in salary cap. There's a marginal increase in roster spend. But essentially, in 2023, the salary budget was $5.2 million. It's going to be just under $5.5 million. There's about $600,000, $700,000 more dollars in general allocation money available. The discretionary TAM targeted allocation money is actually going down because they're trying to phase that out and just focus on general allocation money. So no changes to what was already planned for increases in salary budget. There is no changes to roster mechanisms, no loosening of U22 restrictions. So before we talk about the other stuff that we do like, what are your thoughts on MLS not really trying to, at least in the immediate near future, take advantage of Messi mania, if you will, and let teams add more quality potentially to their rosters.
Well, because they don't want to take attention away from Messi. I mean, you got at least six more documentaries coming out, right?
Yeah.
Why would you? We only got half a season to capitalize on this man. We need a full season. I mean, he's going to win MLS Cup next year, for God's sake.
Ooh, there's a take.
Is it a take, though? Or is it like, well, this man wins everything he ever tries for?
Yeah.
So,
well,
it's give him a full season to cook a little bit.
The script writers have probably already written it in there.
It's pretty wild to think about, but like, yeah, I think they should be ours and many other people's early favorites for MLS Cup.
It'll be interesting. I mean, there's still rumors linking Luis Suarez to Miami. Now, I don't know how good he'll be because
I mean, he is good.
He's also old. Didn't I read something the other day about how he's like, I'm in pain all the time because he's just so old.
Also good at eating apples.
Well, he can't bite Giorgio Chiellini anymore because Chiellini retired from LAFC. So when he
threw that man, by the way, that man's my age and playing at a professional level.
Chiellini.
That's fun. Yeah.
He looks like he's 84 years old.
He does. He does look like he does look like he should be a father, a very, an older father.
you and him do not look the same age.
No, we don't. That man has seen some stuff.
He has lived.
he does not hydrate enough.
So roster mechanisms, it is what it is. I think a lot of people are a little bit disappointed in that. But there are some what I would call very innovative things that are happening in the rules next year. One thing that everybody will notice that's a little bit different right off the bat is the stoppage time clock on the video boards if you're at the game. That's going to continue to count past 45 and past 90 in stadium. So no more of us having to pull out our phones and go to our timer, be like, what did you say? You said 7 minutes. Okay, we'll start. Oh, shit. I started at 30 seconds too late. So
isn't that crazy?
Seconds.
We can all stop that shit now. Like, that is, it's been the dumbest thing we've had to do for years.
Players don't have to guess anymore. Like, no. And in England, I was just there and I'm watching. I'm like, they let the clocks keep running here in the English Premier League. Yeah. I've never been to a Premier
League. They do it on TV. They show us on TV what the stoppage time is.
Right. So I'm like, if I'm sitting here, I'm literally watching Man United play Chelsea, and it's fine for them to continue to count the clock for stoppage time. Why can't Sporting Kansas City and Houston have the clock continue to count?
Dude, that's going to change the game. Players will be like, instead of being like, oh my gosh, I think we have like 30 seconds left. They're going to be like, we have 37 seconds left. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's
100%.
No more stress over that shit.
Yep. Absolutely. They are also
going another favorite shit in here. I got some takes on shit.
Let's I'm building up to my favorite ones.
Yeah, yeah.
In stadium VAR announcements, they're going to start announcing from the referee to fans in the stadium and viewers at home what the VAR decision is and why. So
will they announce why they chose not to go to VAR for certain things?
Probably not. No.
Probably not.
But that will hopefully eliminate the most annoying power trip thing that all referees do is when they run over to the video review station and they sit there for 3 minutes, whatever, and they review, and then they turn around, smug as hell, do the slow run all the way back to something where everybody's like, we know you've made a decision. What is it? And they have to run all the way back before eventually they point to the spot or eventually say no. And
yeah,
I'm like, just quit it. We're not here to watch you.
It's pretty dramatic. It's pretty dramatic.
Where they run all the way back and then pull out a red card. And you're like, what? So.
Comes out of nowhere. You're like, oh, he's running. He's running. I want to see one of them just slip and fall.
But here are some of the more interesting ones. And they both have to do with preventing time wasting, which can be an incredibly frustrating thing. Sporting Kansas City doesn't
all do it
very well. They do it sometimes, but they don't do it as well as other teams. And this is all strictly for MLS competition. So I don't know that this impacts U.S. Open Cup, Leagues Cup, you know, CONCACAF Champions League, etc. This is all MLS play.
I would guess not. Or maybe an announcement later at later date.
Right, not now. So there's something called the timed substitution rule.
I love this.
This says Maximizing effective match time, the timed substitution rule requires that a substituted player exit the field within 10 seconds.
10. It
can be anywhere on the field. You don't have to run to that. You can just have to get off the field within 10 seconds.
Should be easy.
Failure to exit from any point on the field within the 10 seconds will cause the incoming player to wait for a 60-second holding period before entering the game at the next stoppage. During the holding period and prior to the substitute entering, the team will play down a player. Exceptions to the rule include injury and goalkeeper substitutions.
It's a power play, bro. It's power play in freaking hockey. If you, dude, this is going to eliminate this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you guys can't see me, that's low ash jogging a good job.
Sorry, I got to take my shin guards off right here in the middle of the field before I run.
Yep. You better roll yourself off. You better go. It's going to be wonderful because I can't wait till the referee is like 8-1000, 9-1000.
It's like WWE.
What? Yeah, just counting it out. And then the player gets ready to come on and he's like, you better not. You better stay right there. And boom, power play is on.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's just, I think it's dope. And I hope the players are coached on this. I'm sure they will be, but I hope they take it seriously. On the other hand, I hope referees enforce this.
Yeah.
That's the thing, dude.
I'm assuming there's going to be a little bit of leeway at least to start, especially like if a captain gets subbed off and they have to hand over the captain's armband or whatnot.
Right.
But
like delaying a restart was always supposed to be a yellow card. And that's been lenient over the years.
It's going to give fans more opportunity to shit talk and engage because it's like when you're watching an NBA game or whatever and they're doing the count to get the ball past half court and you'll have or to shoot a free throw like with Giannis where they have players like the fans that are counting to 10.
We're going to count.
You're getting the sub, you're going to have the cauldron being like 1, 2, 3.
100%.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
It's going to add a new dynamic to the game and I'm here for it, man. Get a count out. Win by count out.
It would be interesting to see if eventually they end up putting like a substitution clock, like MLB has a pitch clock on there, where it's like,
ooh,
we're just doing this.
But it should not be against the realm of possibility to get off the field in 10 seconds. No matter where you are, there is an end line somewhere that you can get off in 10 seconds.
100%. It should be easy.
Yeah.
So,
because a lot of times people choose like the furthest route off the field.
Right.
And just kind of, you know, their hands are up here by their titties. They're just like little maracas. They're just chilling.
And the ref has to come over and he's trying to, and then they start arguing with the ref. They're like, I am running. And then it's more and.
That's gone. I hope. I mean, I can't wait to see how much shit this stirs up.
So that one's good.
Was that an MLS Next Pro thing?
Yes, this was enacted in MLS Next Pro during the 2023 season, and they said 99.7 of the more than 3,200 substitutions were completed in 10 seconds or less.
Hey, because they know the rules.
Mm-hmm.
They followed it.
Yeah. Cool. So.
What's the next one?
This one's my favorite. This one is called the off-field treatment rule. And this is something that they had implemented it in MLS Next Pro partway through the 2022 season and all the way through the 2023 season. This has been something that I have been clamoring for something similar to this for years. Because the biggest frustration I have with time wasting, and this is quite honestly the biggest frustration that a lot of people have with soccer in general, is the rolling around like you're dying on the field. You get fouled, you get nicked, you roll around, you're grabbing your leg, you're screaming, you're throwing your hand, you're sitting there, you're waiting for
bring out the cold spray.
Exactly. And then finally they're like, okay, I guess we got to bring out the stretcher. And then the four people run out there with the stretcher. And suddenly, right as the stretcher gets there, he's like, you know, I think I'm going to be able to walk off under my own power. And then
I think I might go play again.
Limps all dramatically to the sideline like he's dying. And then something happens. There's a magic threshold when you get to that touchline where the Lord has blessed you and you have healed and you are ready to run back at full strength.
Unbelievable. There's at least a miracle every other game. I'd love to see that, you know, God's shining down.
Right. That's not happening anymore.
I love that.
Off-field treatment rule says the off-field treatment rule allows medical professionals with time to assess and treat players off the field of play in a less pressurized environment. Caveat that. I want to come back to that part in a second.
Okay.
If a player with a suspected injury remains on the ground for more than 15 seconds, it's not long, the referee will stop play, wave the medical crew on the field to evaluate the player, And when safe, the player will be removed from the field and remain off the field for a minimum of 2 minutes for further assessment and treatment. 2 full minutes. That's a long time.
Get your ass in the penalty box.
And they said, yeah, first implemented in MLS Next Pro midway through the 2022 season and continued through the entirety of the 2023 season. This off-field treatment rule has allowed medical staffs time to treat players while also allowing match play to resume quickly. Exceptions to the off-field treatment rule include instances of a potential head injury, goalkeeper injury, serious medical events, or fouls resulting in yellow or red cards.
Sure.
So
this is dope.
This just means you can't go down, roll around forever, and then waste another minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes on the field and immediately come back into the field of play. Having to go out and knowing that if I'm going to go out, my team is going to be down a man for 2 full minutes of gameplay, that's not worth taking an injury.
It's time to start playing like the ladies because you don't see them staying down on the ground.
They don't do it.
They're not rolling around being injured. They get up and they rub some dirt in it and they keep playing.
100%.
It's time to be like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So now the caveat that I said, I want to go back to this, where they said allow medical professionals with time to assess and treat players off the field of play in a less pressurized environment. I mean, yes, in that we're not sitting here all waiting for you to do your thing on the field before we play.
Sure.
And you have to be off for a minimum of 2 minutes, I guess. But I wonder how many people will be like, okay, well, the game's already started. Like, we have to finish up this treatment so I can get back on. Like, I feel like it'll still be pressurized. It'll still be like, we got to do this quick because you have 2 minutes to get me right and get me back on the field. And the longer this treatment takes, the worse position my team is in.
It's still very much pressurized. So I don't know why that verbiage even has to be put in there.
Yeah, but it'll be interesting to see how this impacts stoppage time because we're not going to have 4 or 5 minute stoppage time blocks because of injuries on the field anymore. Most
true. I like that, man. I don't like at the end of the game being like, oof, I bet there's 7 minutes of stoppage time.
Right.
Like if you could just be like, yeah, maybe 1 or 2 minutes, you know, like that'd be crazy.
That'd be awesome.
The game just ends when it's supposed to end. Like that'd be nuts.
Now, it will be weird bouncing back and forth between MLS play and like League's Cup play, where suddenly this isn't a thing anymore. And you have some of the Liga MX teams who are just rolling around and dying on the field again. And we're going to be
exactly.
Like, come on now.
It would not be good. A lot of deaths out there. they do like to get, you know, snipers. Look out.
A sniper got him. Turf monster.
Man, oh, man.
So the only other thing I really wanted to talk about this week, because those are all the MLS rule changes. I mean, there's more MLS roster mechanism things happening, reentry drafts, free agency, like we said, can happen at any time, super draft coming up. We'll all talk about that. But the other big thing that happened in the past week regarding soccer in Kansas City is Kansas City was selected as the site of not just one, but 2 games for the 2024 Copa America, which the United States...
We talked about this last week.
...take place in. You did?
We talked about that we were but getting these games, but we didn't know the matchups yet. And,
right.
Now we know the matchups.
Now we know the matchups and the locations, and this is interesting. So June 25th, 2024, Peru versus Canada or Trinidad and Tobago at Children's Mercy Park. And for those of you who don't know, Copa America, it's basically... the South American version of the Gold Cup, the CONMEBOL version of the CONCACAF Gold Cup. So
usually participate in this as a U.S.
We have occasionally, but it's not a year, you know, every time thing. This is, I think, because the World Cup in 2026 is coming to North America. This is sort of like helping build that up. And probably if you're a representative of CONMEBOL, it's just getting more money, more eyes on the tournament, putting it in a new location like the United States.
Right.
So,
when you say CONMEBOL, you know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of that, what was that Bo Jackson video game? Oh my God. It was like some old ass.
Oh, Tecmo Bowl?
Tecmo Bowl. That's what I think you're saying. Tecmo Bowl coming to Kansas City.
Yeah. So June 25th, Peru versus Canada or Trinidad and Tobago. It's a fine game. Here's the big one, July 1st, 2024, and this is the one I want people to show out to because this is the audition, not the audition, we already got it, but this is the appetizer, the hors d'oeuvre to the 2026 World Cup, the United States men's national team versus Uruguay at Arrowhead Stadium.
Number 11 versus number 12. These two teams are very similar in competition. We going to both these games? Probably need to.
Be fun. I got no plans on either of those dates right now.
I mean, 6-7 months away. I've already penciled it in.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how much tickets are to this U.S. versus Uruguay game. I think it'll be. I mean, it's not CONCACAF. It's not U.S. soccer, so I don't know. But
yeah,
I mean, this will be a good test run to see how does soccer and Arrowhead on the world stage do.
If you don't know, people, USA is still unbeaten in Kansas City, 10-0-2. So pretty excited.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Uruguay is a 2-time World Cup champion and 2-time Olympic gold medalist. So this is a big thing. I mean, the United States got drawn into Group C for Copa America. So that includes Uruguay, Panama, and Bolivia. So this is this is going to be a huge game to determine the winner of Group C, essentially.
You know, tickets are available for both these games mid-January is what they're saying. So yeah. Coming right up.
I say we do it.
I see no problem.
So very cool. Exciting for Kansas City. Exciting for the U.S. men's national team to be able to be a part of the Copa America 2024. Yeah, looking forward to that. So show up if you can. Let's make sure that Arrowhead's filled. There's, 72,000 seats in Arrowhead or something like that. So if they open up the whole thing, let's get there. Let's get loud for the U.S. men's national team.
Wouldn't that be something? I always like going to those national team games anyways, man. It's always a different... you know, brings out the different kind of fan in someone. A little patriotic, you know, get in it for your country, I guess. It's very
and
silly.
Suddenly some of those players that you might not root for typically because they're either on an opposing team, whether they're an MLS or a European team that you cheer for.
Yeah.
Suddenly you're
like
cheering for
fucking Walker Zimmerman can kick rocks on Nashville, but God damn it if he's not the best American in the world.
Exactly. Suddenly you love him.
Right, absolutely. Christian Pulisic could suck it up at Chelsea, but you son of a bitch, God bless you.
So it'll be fun. Looking forward to that one next year.
Totally.
I think that's about all I have for this week. You got anything else?
That's it, huh? Oh, man, I don't. I do not.
Yeah. So thank you all so much for listening. We appreciate your time. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at NoOtherPod, at Dan Kuser, at JCMac03. Check us out on YouTube, KCSN Soccer. You can also check us out on the Kansas City Sports Network app. Leave that 5-star rating and review. And if you can't do that, shoot us an email, nootherpod@gmail.com, or send us a Twitter DM, and we'll read it like we did for Brad. So thank you all so much. And until next time, he's Dan. I'm Jimmy. We'll catch y'all later. See ya.
You know, it's mine and Jimmy's birth month, so buy us something.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.